Please be seated for our Bible readings. We want to turn first, please, to page 211 in the Church Bibles. Page 211. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and we're in the 33rd chapter of the book. Deuteronomy chapter 33, page 211. We shall begin reading at the first verse of the chapter, and we shall read through to and including verse 7. Let us hear together this portion of God's word. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones, with flaming fire at his right hand. Yes, he loved his people. All his holy ones were in his hand. So they followed in your steps, receiving direction from you when Moses commanded us a law as a possession for the assembly of Jacob. Thus the Lord became king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the peoples were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. Let Reuben live and not die, but let his men be few." And this he said of Judah, "Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah. Bring him in to his people. With your hands, contend for him, and be a help against his adversaries." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our second Bible reading, we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, page 1086. 1086 is the page number in the Church Bibles. John chapter 14, and we shall begin reading at the first verse. Let us hear this portion of God's word. Here we have a record of what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me? Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, now we want to turn, please, to page 211 in our church Bibles and to the 7th verse of the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Page 211, verse 7 of Deuteronomy 33. Let us ask for God's blessing. O most gracious and most merciful Father in heaven, hear our prayer in these moments for your blessing to be upon us as we meditate upon your word. Grant, Lord, that each of us, young and old, male and female, preacher and hearer, may hear you speaking to us, and may thereby be greatly and gloriously and wonderfully encouraged in your service. And may our lives, O Lord our God, we beseech of you, be lives that are ever lived to your praise and glory. For Jesus Christ, our Saviour's sake. Amen. Here we have in Deuteronomy 33 the prayers of blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced over the tribes of Israel. This man is concerned that the people of God would know God's blessing upon them after he has finished his days here on earth. His concern is that God would have all the praise and all the glory. His concern is that God's church will prosper and flourish. Now, the concerns that Moses had all those many, many years ago, some 3,500 years ago, are to be the concerns that are ever in the forefront of the people of God in each generation. We may not be called to lead the people of God as Moses was called to lead the people of God. We're not called to do that work. But we are called to have as our concern, to have as our passionate concern, the concerns that God would have all of his people own and love and cherish. And they come down to the prosperity of the church, to the praise and glory of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. That should ever be our concern whilst we walk here on earth. Well, here in verse 7, we see what Moses prays for the peoples of the tribe of Judah. He is invoking a blessing from God upon the peoples of that tribe. Now, there are two things that we need to say straight away. The first is, why is Judah mentioned at this point? We can understand why Reuben is mentioned in verse 6. He was the firstborn. But why does Levi not come before Judah? And the answer to that question lies back in a place such as Genesis chapter 49, to which we will turn in a moment. Suffice it to say, for the present, Judah is now mentioned in the list of tribes over which blessings are invoked, because God has a special purpose for the peoples of the tribe of Judah. And then the second thing we need to say is that this prayer of blessing is not particularly easy to understand. What does it mean when he prays, "Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him in to his people. With your hands contend for him and be a help against his adversaries." As we hear those words, we find ourselves sort of saying, I need to know a little bit more. I don't quite understand what this prayer is all about. So we want to bear those two things in mind as we take a closer look. The second of those two, these aren't easy words to understand and interpret. The first of those two, Judah comes after Reuben the firstborn because of God's special purpose for the peoples of the tribe of Judah. So let's take a closer look. Now you can see that this is a prayer. Hear, O Lord, is how this word of blessing over this tribe begins. And what Moses is praying is that God would hear the voice of the tribe of Judah. Or to put that another way, God would hear the prayers of his people. But then you may ask the question, and I hope you do, what sort of prayers might it be that the peoples of the tribe of Judah will pray? Well, let's have a look at what continues in this verse. And bring him in to his people. Bring him in from where, do I hear you ask? That's a good question for us to ask. Now, to answer. Let's go to Genesis chapter 49 and let us note what is said in that chapter about the tribe of Judah. Now, in Genesis chapter 49, you've got something similar to what you have in Deuteronomy chapter 33. In Deuteronomy 33, Moses, the man of God, is praying for the tribes of Israel. In Genesis 49, you've got Jacob, the man of God, praying for his sons, who will be the heads of the tribes. And in verse 8 and following, you have Jacob's prayer for the tribe of Judah. For his descendants descended from that son of his. Judah, verse 8, Genesis 49 reads, "Your brothers, the Levites, the Simeons, the Reubens of this world, shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you've gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as a lioness, who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he has washed his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk." Now, do I hear you say to me, "Well, what's all that about? You said just now that verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 33 isn't easy to understand. Well, surely verses 8 through to 12 inclusive of Genesis 49 are not easy to understand either. What is being predicted, what is being declared, even in the days of Jacob, is that the tribe of Judah and his sons and his sons' sons, would have a leading place amongst the tribes. And the leading place can be described under two heads. On the one hand, they're going to take a lead in the battles that will be fought. And that is precisely what happened. You think of what happened in the days of Jeroboam. Who was there at the front? It was the peoples of Judah, on behalf of and for the benefit of the Israelites as a whole. So that's one area where Judah would be used of God in fighting battles, being at the front of the battle for the benefit of the people of God. Yes, yes, they'll be supported by others, but there they are at the front. But then, of course, secondly, you have here the prediction that it is from this tribe that Messiah shall come. The promised one will come from the tribe of Judah. And that is what is being mentioned, predicted, spoken of, when it says, verse 10, the scepter of rule shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. God promised a Saviour, and the Saviour will come from the tribe of Judah. Now, I trust you've followed that. I think you need to bear those two facts in mind concerning leading from the front in battles and the coming of the Messiah from the tribe of Judah. Keep that in mind when you focus your thoughts on what is being prayed by Moses, the man of God, for the people of Judah in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 7. Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him in to his people. Bring him in from where? Bring him back in after leading out in times of battle. That is surely the sort of thought that we should have in mind. Now you can read the commentaries and you can find that the commentators, well, they scratch their heads, just as you and I scratch our heads and say, what is this all about? But this surely is the simplest and the best way of understanding what is being predicted and prayed for here. We don't need to go into lengthy and convoluted arguments or ideas. We know that Judah will lead in times of battle, and that Judah will be empowered and used of God when the people of God are under attack for the benefit of the people of God. And so the prayer is, as those who lead at the forefront of the battle, may they come back and come in amongst God's people. And let us never forget, my dear friends, let us never forget that those who belong to Jesus are more than conquerors. We may not be called to go out to battle against the Philistines or the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Egyptians or any other nation that you care to mention from history or even today, because the weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of this world. All of the battles that we read of in ancient times, the types and shadows that are pointing to the victory that the people of God will enjoy in Jesus Christ. They're more than conquerors in him. Judah led from the front, went out to battle, engaged in battle, and God gave the people of God, under the leadership of Judah, the victory. And so the leaders came back in triumph. And of course, we know that all would point to the fact that our great and glorious Saviour, King Jesus, would go forth before the peoples of this world and the unseen forces of evil in the heavenly realms, and that he would conquer on behalf of his people, and that he would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Yes, he went to the cross and there he died. And his enemies thought, that's it, we've got rid of him. But on the third day he rose in triumph from the dead. And he ever lives to look after his people. And those united to Jesus Christ through faith are indeed more than conquerors. So hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah. Judah has this responsibility. They'll call upon you as they go to battle. Hear their voice, O Lord, and enable them to come back the victors. Well, now there's an example for you and me to follow. Here we are engaged in a spiritual battle. Here we are finding that the forces of evil are lined up against the people of God. Here we are finding that we ourselves are in the forefront of a particular battle. Well, what do? We go to the Lord and we lay before the Lord our concerns. We pray to him, for him to arise and come to aid us in a wonderful and glorious way. And we do so confident that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, just as Judah could be confident that she would return triumphant from the battlefield. And that's what the second part of this verse is underlining as well. With your hands, contend for him and be a help against his adversaries. So in the first part of the blessing, there's this earnest beseeching of God, this calling upon God, this invoking of God, this crying to God for God to hear the voice of his people as they pray. But then in the second part of this blessing, there is this beseeching of God for God to give the victory, for God to fight for his people. Now, when you read church history, when you read what we see in the scriptures concerning the victories that the people of God in days of yore enjoyed, what does it all point to? It all points to that great truth that was taught in the days of Zechariah. The great truth that Zerubbabel and others were taught to understand. What is that truth? It's not by might, nor by power, but by God's Spirit that we enjoy victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes, we are called to engage in the battle. We're not called to be just passively sitting back and doing nothing. We're not called to be those who let go and let God, as they used to say back in the 1960s, in particular in churches. No, we're called to be standing. We're called to be those who are running the race. We're called to be fighting the fight of the faith. That's what God's people are called to be. We are to be actively engaged in serving the Lord, in resisting the evil one, in dealing with the flaming darts of the evil one, which he hurls at God's people. Yes, we must be active. But we haven't got the strength in ourselves to succeed. It's never by might or by power. It's by the Spirit of the living God. And so the child of God goes to God and says, Lord, I must step out in faith. I must do what you want me to do. I must resist evil. I must put to death the passions of the flesh, which are contrary to the will of God. Lord, I can't do that in my own strength. I'm looking to you, for you to give me strength. Arise, O Lord, with your hands, to pick up the language here of this blessing. Contend for me and for your people, so that we might enjoy victory in these days. Help us in a great and glorious way in the face of our enemies, here described as the adversaries of the people of God. So it's a straightforward prayer that Moses prays. That's what this blessing is. He's calling down God's blessing upon the peoples of the tribe who are told to lead from the front in the battles. The peoples of the tribe from whom the Messiah would come. He's praying that God would hear their voice in as they pray. And he's praying that God will mightily aid and help them and give them the victory, and that they would be able to come home rejoicing in the Saviour. Today may be the hour of battle. Tomorrow will be the day for the victor's song. That's the mentality the Christian has. That is how he or she thinks as they face trials and difficulties. We don't ask for the shortcut. We don't say to the Lord, just take away all my problems. That may be the desire of our hearts, that they'd all just be gone in a flash. No, no, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. In your troubles and trials, wait upon me, and you will find me gloriously and wonderfully undertaking for you. Do you see the dynamic of living the Christian life? Do you see the dynamic of living the life of faith that the people of the tribe of Judah were called to live all those years ago? Well, here we are, 3,500 years later, and it's the same principles that apply. But we can look back and say, ah, yes, the Saviour who would come from that tribe came 2,000 years ago, and he's given his people the victory. It's all theirs to be enjoyed. They just enter into the fruits of the victory that he has secured. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Oh yes, we've got to fight the battles. We've got to resist the evil one. But we're on the victory side. We're on the victory side. We're more than conquerors through Christ who saves us. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, how we thank and praise you for the way you blessed your people long, long ago, and how we thank you that the blessings you lavished upon them speak to us of the way you will undoubtedly bless us. May we know your favour and mercy upon us in these moments and days. Dear Saviour, we plead, may we go forth confident that we are safe and secure in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.